Today's workshop is Overcoming the Challenges of Generation IY. Speaker is Reverend Wesley Lim. Reverend Lim has been serving as the children's pastor at Toronto Chinese Community Church for over 20 years. He graduated with a religious education degree from Ontario Bible College. He is committed to children evangelism and Christian education. He is a devoted father of two teen girls.
But anyway, Scott, today is not about parenting. If you're here for parenting, you're in the wrong room. You're in the wrong room, honestly. If you are here because you want to know what's going on with the world, then you and me share the same thing. I'm not an expert. I'm not here to promote Tim Elmore's book on iGen. You can purchase that on Amazon.com yourself and read it. I think it's a good read. I read the reviews already. Most of them are good. But I'm not here to promote his book. I'm just here to just be on the same page as you. For those who are parents, then you know what I'm talking about. For those who are would-be parents, then I hope you will get something out of this. This whole hour is really about understanding the kind of world that our children and our grandchildren will be living in. And I think that's the first step. Because no matter what kind of parent you are, if you don't really understand the environment, it's really hard to, like TCPA would say, practice those Christian principles. So I think that's the first step. You need to know where you're at. You need to know where your kids are at. So I'm going to quiz you first. You look at the back page. You see the back page that you have? That's the least important page of your handout. And that's where I'm going to start, the most least important page. Because that, I call that toilet reading. When you have nothing better to do when you're sitting in the toilet, you read that page. Okay? But that, everything else, I don't want you to read in the toilet. Okay? So that one is called the cyberspace lingo. I mean, the first thing is, I think you know, my two daughters, they're now talking more and more now. I don't even understand what they're talking, because now they're talking code. You know? And, there's encrypted messages. You know, like in text, but you know, if you work with a BlackBerry, you know that you're not gonna talk like you're not gonna text like you talk, right? Once upon a time, there was God, and God became. You're not gonna type like that, right? So you type in code, right? So I think these days, the young generation, I mean, they have things like this. You know what this is, right? Yeah. Wow. Everybody knows this one, right? So for the next 15. I want to see how good you guys are picking up these lingo. So just take about 2 minutes and try to fill out as many of those as you can possibly understand them. Those are all acronyms of all what they call abbreviations for the languages that your kids and my kids exchange. Okay? Just take 2 minutes and try them out. Got it? Okay, just for fun. Just for fun. Okay, next time you see or happen to catch in the corner of your eye your child's text messaging and you see these abbreviations, then you know what you're doing. But don't tell them, you know. Just say, oh, man, go. Because once they know that you know, oh, they will create new ones. And then you'll be forever catching up, you know. And no, just say, oh, I don't know. So let's start with the easier one, TTYL. Do you know what that is? Yeah, that's an easy one, right? Talk to you later. That's simple enough, okay? I'll save one for last. Now let's go to the top now. Let's say AYDY. Do you know what that is? You know what that is?
D-Y.
D-Y. See you later. See you later. A-Y-D-Y, I see you later.
New code.
Yeah, that's a new code. What's A-Y-D-Y? Are you done yet?
Oh.
You know, I'm sitting in the car, are we there yet, Dad? Are we at Disney World? Are we there yet? This one, are you done yet? So you may ask, are you done? Right? How about VBS?
Bible study.
Bible study? Wow, you really have respect, you really have a holy, you have a holy, you have a Bible study.
Be back
soon. Be back soon. Be back soon.
Be back soon. You notice that your kids have to pause every time you turn back and look at them, right? They stop, they kind of look at you, smile, right? They usually put this one. Be back soon. So the guy on the other end will say, I'll still wait for you. I'll be back soon. How about VIO? This one, Haikyuzin. This one is to challenge you. You know what that is?
10 seconds.
See you later.
Nothing 10 seconds.
Bring it on. Hey, man. Come on. Hey, yeah. Bring it on. Right? Oh, I'll save the next two. How about C-U-L-8-R?
See you later.
See you later.
Call you later.
Call you later. Call you later. Right? How about CYV?
See you later.
This is the one you get from friends who say, wait, Judy, but your email didn't answer me. Check your email.
Oh.
How about DL? This is the most famous. What's DL? You do this every day.
Download.
This is the most MYO. This is the most famous. Mind your own dot dot dot. Good dot 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 is what you fill in. And it's usually a swear word. So MYO is CMA. But the next one is 臭老弟啊. NEI. Anyone. How about PAL? This one is against you. When you see this on your kids' text messaging, it's against you.
Parents or something.
Parents are listening. Very good. It's okay. So you see it, you say, I don't know. You don't know. Oh, yeah, the game's over. How about Slack? Slap a man. You see that, 青年人啊, 很多计划的嘛, right? Do this, do that. Sounds like a plan. Sounds like a plan. They always have a plan, right? Well, I meet you in the mall. Sounds like a plan. See you later. Right? Okay. TWSS. This is usually from a boy. You rarely get this from a girl. That's what she said. And of course, the last one, UG2BK. You gotta be kind. Oh, what? You're like, Jesus. Okay. You gotta be kidding. Now, I'll tell you which two you should be a little bit more aware. It's the one that's CD9. That's Code 9 for parents are here or parents are around. And usually this is done when something is hanky-panky. And then, of course, CU46 is even worse. Right? It basically means CU for sex. If you ever see that in your child's text messaging, then you should get on your knees and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He leads me, and so on and so forth. Okay? Either that or call Reverend Harding in, PCC, and ask him to pray for you. Okay? So those are just for fun. Just for fun. I think I have to learn, right? A lot of, half of those I don't know, and half of them I know very well because my daughter's here, right? So we have to learn. We're on the same page. We're all parents. We're all concerned for the next generation. But just to have a flashback, okay, just like Star Wars, there's a flashback, they call it prequel. Instead of sequel, they now go backwards, right? Everything has a prequel, right? Even the Bible being shown on Sunday night, I hope you watch that, right? They go back, they go flashback, right? So let's go flashback and what's going on with our world, right? This is only about 30 years of starting from not here, but 30 years ago, it already started. And only here, it started picking up. Okay, so what am I talking about? Well, things that are influencing your kids and mine have a lot to do with technology and soon to be internet. Okay, so, well, it all started with this one. You know this one? What is it? Yeah, Wikipedia, right? And then, of course, then it goes on this one. This is the first social network, probably. Right? Everybody hooked onto that one, including what you passed your eye in. Right? And then with this one, you know, you get the famous... And along with... Right? And one more. Oh, even this one. These three bombarded this year. So it's bad enough you have one for 1 year. Now you have three for 1 year. So you can imagine, you know, as your child grows, there's just a lot more to offer. Right? This one takes time, this one takes more time. Imagine this. Well, this alone, I'll tell you later. Right? And then of course this is a famous one, even to this day. I think they're logged on 24/7. Right? Yeah. Justin Bieber has 2 billion followers. Right? Oh, and then there's this one. Well, that's why Tim Elmore wrote this book. Right? It's because of what happened here. Well, what happened here, everything has to do with the letter I, right? So you have things like all this. I mean, it's not bad enough you have one, and then you have three to occupy your kids. Wow. And you have this is alone is worth the money because it's all visual, right? They learn so much by visual, right? They can play a crime scene over and over and over and over and over and over again. They can play a song over and over. Wow, this is alone. You know, and then of course this one, this is more interactive. Oh, I'm following you. You know, I'm following every movement. I'm just finishing breakfast. I just been brushing my teeth. You know, it's almost like you're there. Like, oh, that's kind of too close for comfort, right? You're almost there with me. Like, I'm in the washroom. I'm texting you in the washroom. Oh my, don't go away. Oh, that's disgusting, right? And then I put this in this one. Well, you can imagine. And then in 2010, you have. Well, you know what? I think that's the evolution of what is grabbing the attention of your kids. And it's all technology, right? And soon, and the latter half is all internet. And it's so accessible, right? In the past, you know, it was an index finger. Now it's just a little touchpad, right? Before it's just, you know, let your finger do the walking. Now it's so easy. And accessibility is so common. So I think we have to accept that 10 years from now, if I follow this timeline, 2023, it will be even more. Right? And if you cannot accept that, then it will be very hard for you to deal with your kids. Because you'll be forever fighting an uphill battle. You want to be on the same page as your kids. You want to be on the same ideal as your kids. And to do that, we have to understand where they're coming from. This is where they're coming from. Okay, I want to read you a Bible verse. Okay? So you understand. It's from Psalm 119. In verse 125, this is what it says. It's a short little verse. It says, I am your servant. This is written by David. I'm your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. What are statutes? Statutes are like the Ten Commandments. Statutes are like the Beatitudes. Statutes are like the great commandments that Christ gave. Love thy neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart. Those are statutes. Like, David wrote this, right? You could have figured, like, after so many years being king, win so many wars, that you would have figured, like, okay, you must be pretty good. But even then, he had to write, oh, I am your servant. And in a sense, we are all his servant. As parents, we are the servant. So in our case, we're the same. This is written by David, but in our case, we're the same. We're servants, right? I am your servant. Give me discernment. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to leave you with this verse. I hope you remember this. If you don't remember anything I'm going to speak after this, doesn't matter. You have to remember Psalm 119, 125. Because you are serving God as a parent, and you're asking God for discernment. What is discernment? Discernment is to be able to know what's right and wrong, good and evil, that kind of thing. Discernment. Right? And discernment cannot be, you don't just get it on your own. You don't just develop in your body, your brain. Right? It has to be given. This discernment is from God. That's why King David is looking upward and saying, give me discernment. And he says, that I may understand your statutes. What does that mean? See, in that context back then, he was talking about the law of the land. He was talking about the law of the ruler at that time. Hey, let me understand them so that I know how to treat them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think the best way to be able to raise your children, teach them, is to understand them. But to understand them, we need to first ask God for discernment. Because if you think that you just go get a PhD and study child psychology, get a PhD just because you are, you know, the children's pastor of T3C, it means nothing. Simple. Right? God gave us children. That's a gift. You know that. Children are a gift from God. So he gave you a present, and you're going to take care of it. And the best way to take care of it is to learn how to take care of it. And the best way to learn how to take care of it is to have discernment. And that discernment you cannot earn or develop. You need to ask from God. And I think I want to leave you with that first before we go and venture on these like 65-page thesis that you have in your hand. All right? So let's take a look at the first page. Okay, the first page is FYI. FYI. It's a totally new kind of understanding of where our kids are coming from. Okay? So it's talking about how internet has evolved. Okay? It's evolved from something that was not even significant to now people can't even live without internet. My family went to Cuba in January. And I don't really care, right? But all my sister-in-laws and brother-in-laws, you know, they're all so high-techy. You know, they're tech-savvy. The first day we went to Cuba, we were to get into the resort. And within minutes, my sister-in-law, they found out there's no internet. Say that, no Wi-Fi! What's so fool? They're just like, you know, it was like the world ended for my family. But for me and Hung Ling, we don't care because we don't even use this stuff. We don't even know how to use this stuff. You see the thing here? This is a loaner of a phone. I don't even know how to use half the stuff on this. My daughter Courtney puts the stuff on this. I don't even know half the apps. I don't even know what they're for. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Right? But anyway, technology is, it depends on how you use it and whether you respect it, right? If your life depends on it and you cannot live without it, then there's something wrong. And that's where our kids are at. Some of them, they just cannot live without it. It's almost like a blood transfusion. You take out the intravenous, they'll die. They'll die. Right? And I don't think that's what God wants it. Right? God wants them to have things, but to respect them. they have their use, but you respect them. But I think that's where we need to draw the line. I think as parents, we need to help them to draw the line that, you know, you don't, your life is not dependent on a piece of technology. Your life is God-given, God-designed, made in His image. And we need to respect the things that God gave us, including the technology. Of course, then you know that there's a labels like TV will define the boomers, and then you see technology of Walkman. I grew up with the Walkmans, right? And you know Gen X, but now you have these iGen, so-called, what's the Tim Elmore would label them. Actually, that iGen is actually from Bill Gates. Bill Gates penned this generation as being iGen because he just find that, you know, with the advancement of technology, that people would be hanging on more to it more than ever, more than before. Teens are most at home when they have internet, just like my family, right? Teens are more comfortable, more knowledgeable, and literate than their parents. And it's something that we need to accept. Some parents, because of, I don't know, pride, they just refuse to have their kids more knowledgeable than they are. So they'll fight tooth and nail. They say, no, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I know. Because I work in the IT world. You know nothing. You're just learning. But you know what? People, we need to accept the fact that there will come a time when your kids and mine will be more, they'll be more knowledgeable than you. Because they have ways to find it. You know, the cybernet is information highway, right? So, I mean, just how much time do you have? You have to pay mortgage, mow the lawn, shovel the snow, cook the Chinese dinner. How much time do you have? It's 大把時間. To surf all day, surf all night, surfing their brain while they're sleeping. Right? This generation is literally growing up with the internet. And the statistics you can read on your own. Here's some actual factuals for you. Just to give you an idea of one technology called Facebook. Just from 2010, we're just shortly two years and a bit. Over 5 million, the letter M is for million, and the letter B is for billion. So you can imagine, 5 million Facebook users worldwide logged on at the same time. 48% of them are from that age group. And they are significant because they're the ones that cannot live without internet. They're the ones that wake up, they don't even kiss their wife. Hi, good morning, honey. They go to the internet, go, Yamo friends, They're the ones that wake up with Facebook. They don't even look at their wife. They look at the monitor. You know? Strange. 57% talk more online than in person. This is what gets me. Like, if God made us in His image, and if God wanted us to communicate via a piece of machinery, He would not have given us a tongue. Huh? He would have given us something else. Maybe a circuitry. Right? But since we have a tongue, I think this is what God made me this way, so I think I can communicate. So it alarms me that almost more than half, they rather communicate online without looking at you than meeting you in person. I don't know. I just find that kind of odd. It just pushes backwards, you know, as a humanity. It pushes backwards that we are now distancing ourselves on purpose so that I don't need to see you. I just need to talk to you, or better yet, just communicate. Not even talking. I call it pseudo-communication. Pseudo is artificial, superficial. Superficial communication, not even talking. These days, I think a telephone will be very well used. An average New Year's Eve weekend, 750 million photos are posted. That's how much people log into that thing. Every 20 minutes, 1 million share likes. Wow. Every 20 minutes, that Facebook constantly changes because people add things. 1 million links. That's incredible. Every 20 minutes, more than 1.3 million photo tags. That means we keep exchanging photos. Right? 1.5 events being sent. People send all kinds of things. Invitations, birthdays, this and that, announcements. Constantly. Can you imagine? Add all that. And that's what's happening every 20 minutes. And your kid is in the middle of all that. right? Your kids and mine are in the middle of all that. My daughter to this day, they keep asking me for Facebook account. And there's no way. Not because I want to be a tyrant, hate a life. But I have to explain. Well, first of all, you two, me and my daughters, you're not even responsible enough for within the house. Within the house. Why would I give you something that you're going to be responsible outside of the house? Facebook is merciless. Because what gets on, it's on for life. Huh? You miss something. Oh, enter key. That's it. It's on for life. Mm-hmm. You add the webcam to that, then you have quite a worry. So I refuse to give my daughter's Facebook account. They don't have one. They keep asking for one, but I would never give them one because they're not responsible enough. I mean, you've seen so many irresponsible people on Facebook already. Your children and mine is not going to be one of them. Right? But I'm not here to push my own theology on you. You have your own parenting skills and convictions. Worldwide, people spend over 700 billion minutes per month on Facebook. What is that equal to? It's equal to 1 million years of life. 1 million years of life. See, I mean, I thought dinosaurs was out of the discussion. Then we didn't actually talk about dinosaurs. It's equal to a spent full day, 24-hour log in a month. That means people who are on Facebook, they literally waste one day, 24-hour, non-stop, one day out of every month, just for that. One day. That's one day of earning, of wages. That's equivalent to one day out of every month. That's 12 days out of a year that you wasted because you like to surf on Facebook. And that's where your kids and my kids are basing. So what are we looking at? We're looking at a culture that is engulfing your kids and mine. It's called postmodern. Right? It affects how they think, how they feel, how they talk, how they relate. Right? Postmodernism, what is it? Let me give you some definition. It basically rejects traditional Christian ideas of truth. Like these days, there's no absolute truth. Everything is relative. Oh, because. Well, there's no absolute. Thou shalt not kill. No. I kill because. Everything is relative. Then why did God give the Ten Commandments? He must have wasted time. Might as well call it the Ten Suggestions. Right? God gave the Ten Commandments because those are the absolutes. You shall not have any other gods before me. No, that's not what he meant. Yeah, you can worship Jesus when you can, but if you can't, then Allah, just as good. Hey, Buddha, just as good. No problem, New Age, just as good. Right? Why do you give the commandments? Because those are the absolutes. But these days, we're living in a world that's more and more postmodern. Postmodern means that they reject the traditional value of truth. They don't buy that. Second, they reject science. And education, even institutions that would provide a path to truth. Anything else that would provide that so-called truth or absolute truth is, no such thing. No. Truth is measured in the individual. So we're living in an age where your kids and mine say, hey, I believe it. Well, I know you don't, but it's okay, I respect you. But I believe it. And what I believe is the absolute truth. It's me. Everything is me. Right? If something seems true to an individual, then it must be true. It doesn't matter what even the Bible says. I believe. Right? We live in a culture where it's more consumerism. And with that, there's ethics. This is called personal choice. Personal choice into areas of morals. So right now, you know, even the right things are right from wrong. They're no longer connected with a moral code. Like, you know, Jesus gave us moral principles to guide us. Those are principles that cannot be tampered or altered or negotiated. That's why they call principles. Right? And they deal with your morals. But we're living in a day and age where, no, it's a choice. It's a personal choice. Right? And now it's a matter of convenience, preference, price, and even personal taste. People now believe only what they feel or experience. So it's about how they feel. Have you noticed Bill 279? If I feel like a woman, I will go into the women's washroom with you. Because at this moment, I feel like a woman. Really? Wow. Your estrogen and testosterone must be just doing battle. Huh? If I feel like a man, and I'm a woman, I go into the men's washroom with you. Because at this moment, I feel like a man. I don't know how you feel. But I feel like a man. What does that say? Right? So these days, your kids are, you know, your kids are banking on, hey, mom, you don't understand anything because that's how I feel. This is what I feel. Well, I'm not saying God is neglecting our feelings. That's why he gave us a full package of emotions. He has the same emotions we do. We laugh, he laughs. We cry, he cries. He's happy, we're happy. But he's not saying that, you know, he's not telling you that your feeling is the be-all, end-all to decision-making in life. I feel this way. Therefore, I'm going to decide what I'm going to do. I feel this way. And this is who I'm going to marry. The church should be concerned about postmodern worldview because it opposes many of the Christian faith's central doctrines. And you see some happening right now in the province of Ontario. People are now looking for a postmodern faith that offers a form of spirituality that makes little demand on a serious change, such as New Age and Scientology. You know Tom Cruise, John Travolta, the whole bit, right? Scientology is now in their own mess, right? They recruit people by saying, hey, I demand very little from you. It's okay, just come. But once you're in it, you can't get out. See, Scientology is a cult. And by cult concept is that what you comes in never leaves. Right? That's the culture we're facing. That's the culture that our kids are living in. And I think we have to be a little bit more aware before we start tackling them on what they can do and what they cannot do. So let's look at ourselves. Who are we? When we're parents of an I generation, I think the first thing we need to do is keep our emotions in check. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, the ninth one, the last one, there's a reason why that is the last one. You know, love, patience, kind, blah, 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 blah. You know the last one? The last one is self-control. Why did God put that one in the last? Because that's the most difficult one to handle. Because he knows that we as a human being, we as humanity, we have difficulty handling self-control. Because we have no self-control. We blow up. What? You're on Facebook? What? You talk to your boyfriend like that? See you later for sex? What? That's who we are. Right? We blow off our top. We lose our temper. Self-control is the last fruit of the Spirit because that's the hardest one to handle. But we need to keep that in check. I think if we want to deal with our kids on the same page, well, if we want to bring them on the same page, I think we need to keep that in check. Because if you keep blowing up, lose your temper, talk loud, you know, finger pointing, this and that, you're not going to win nothing. Your kids are just going to say, see you later. I have better friends on Facebook. I think our emotions always lead to response. So if you keep your emotions in check, it usually leads to a very favorable response. If you don't keep your emotions in check, it usually leads to a lousy response. And that's where fighting comes in. And that's where teens leave homes. And that's where teenage pregnancy gets a little bit higher percentage. 3, I think we need to keep our focus on God's teaching. Psalm 119, 125, right? You know, we need to be aware of, when we go to church, what are you learning? And what you have learned, does it apply to your family? It should. Every Sunday you go to church, every sermon you listen to, it has everything to do with your family. Whether it's talking about Old Testament, New Testament, or talking about, you know, whoever, it has to do with your family. Every Sunday you go to church, it has something to do with your family. I don't care what the topic is. It could be communion. It has to do with your family. Communion talking about forgiveness. Communion talking about holding grudges. Right? Everything you learn in church has to do with your family. So we need to focus on that rather than just on ourselves. Oh, let's read a book. Oh, how to be better parents. Oh, 10 easy steps. I think that's too easy. A look at our teens. What are they like? Well, we need to keep our emotions, but at the same time, they are full of emotions. They're like a sponge. They're like a sponge. They absorb everything. They absorb all that and more. You know, we have limitations. right? But they don't. They just absorb everything. And how they filter their information, that becomes critical, right? They absorb the good and the bad. Oh, that's great. Everything. But how they filter the good from the bad, ah, that's the trick. And most of the time, they don't know how. And that's where the problem comes. Right? Two, they learn first and foremost through the experiences with you. You know, your kids and mine, we still have a hope because we're their parents. So they look at you, they say, hey, what are your experiences? Hey, if I do this, what do you think is going to happen? I think our kids are still looking at us for now. There'll be a day when they say, no, I'm okay, Dad. I'm going to Waterloo for university. I want to be on my own, take care of myself. I have all the gongs I need packed already. It's okay. Don't worry about me. Say a prayer for me. See you later. Bye-bye. There will be a day when they say, well, you know, thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom. Thanks for taking care of me all these years. I can be on my own. Bye-bye. See you later. You know, it sounds so emotional, but I know, I think what they want to do is, yes! Yes! Free at last! Freedom! Free at last! They want to be away from you. That's what. Right? So I think they learn first and foremost through their experience with you. So that's why when parents don't have time for kids, it breaks my heart. It really does. You know? Your kids are coming to you already. But you don't have time to say, oh, leave my mommy. And then mom is cleaning the house and, you know, this and that. Well, my daddy, you can go to the house. You can buy my daddy. He's back in front of a ping pong. Okay, I'll go Facebook. Dear Facebook, dear serial killer, do you want to pay attention to me? Because my mom and dad don't have time for me. Great. Yeah, serial killer. Oh. Choices we make as parents, based on what is best for our teens, not based on fear about their culture. So, ladies and gentlemen, when I say these things to you, I'm not here to scare you. And I don't want you to go back home and say, oh, out of fear, that that's how you're going to treat your kids. No, I want you to learn what is surrounding your kids. What kind of environment are your kids in? I want you to understand that so that from there, you will know how to treat your kids. I don't want you to be scared of technology or Facebook or Twitter. I don't want you to be scared. I just want you to understand this is what's happening. Right? One of the classic examples is that, you know how it is, right? You know, they say music not sung by a Christian is evil. I mean, music not sung by a Christian is evil. I mean, I've seen better lyrics on non-Christian posting than I would read on a Christian magazine. You know, and then the opposite would be the same. A movie not produced by a Christian is evil. Really? Well, you know what? I'm a movie buff. I've watched movies since the first James Bond, Goldfinger, in Hong Kong. I love movies. I watch all kinds of movies. And some movies are actually great teachers, and they're not even made by Christians. Right? So I think the point here is that I think parents, we don't always have to look at things that are holy, a so-called Christian, before we can deal with the problems of our kids. Right? Things that are out there, they might not be Christian or made by Christian, but they have a teaching element to it that your kids can learn from. And we need to use those just as much as Christian. Right? Things like Juno, Soul Surfer, Blindside, these are non-Christians. But they all have something to teach our kids. And I think they're meaningful. Choices we make as parents. Last one, judge each situation in your culture based on its potential for redeeming truth. Everything has a teachable moment. God says for everything that is beautiful, wonderful, praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Because everything has a redeeming quality. Everything has a truth that you can reap and teach your kids. It's not always from the Bible. It's not always something from your BSS group. It's not always something from teens conference. Everything in life has a redeeming quality that has a truth that you can teach your kids. Right? And I think as parents, we need to do more of that. Because we're too lopsided. We only look at Christian websites. We only look at Christian songs. We only look at Christian producers. We only look at Christian. You know, we are the salt and light. Have you not heard? Huh? Salt and light of this world. We're in it. We cannot be a part of it, but we're here. So you might as well take the best of it that the world has to offer good too. Yeah, they're not the, you know, the world we live in is not the best world in the world, but that's okay. But it has something good to offer. You should use that also to teach your kids. And I think that will help your kids understand that you're not so always so holy. You know, kids, the one misconception of kids to parents is that once you go to church, once you're one of these church leaders, a pastor, a deacon, an elder, you know, kids from those families, they think that, oh my gosh, you're too holy. You know, I cannot even be remotely close to you. You're too holy for me. So therefore, you do not understand because I'm full of sin. You never understand. You're too holy for me. You know what? We need to come down from that high pedestal of holiness and kind of be on the same page as our kids. Because the world they live in is our world too. Right? You don't always just look at Christian websites. There are other websites. Right? You don't need to always look at listening to one Christian song. There are other songs that have teachable things. Right? So I think we need to balance that. We need to have a good balance of that before we deal with our kids. Some of the daily challenges we face as parents is that we need to keep a daily heads up on what's going on with your kids. And that's the one I think we all need to do today. Now. Right now. You need to keep a heads up what's going on with your kids today. You know, all these tips you get from TV and from, you know, parenting seminars, you know, oh, you know, put your computer where I can see it. Oh, let me put the password for you. You guys have all these firewalls and safeguards to make sure that your kids are not going to tamper with things that are illegal, right? Oh, illicit. Oh, not proper. Oh, porn. Oh, you know what? If you just keep a heads up of what's going on with your kids' life, I think that will solve a lot of things. It really. And to do that, you know, I said keep a heads up. To do that, that means you really actually have to put some time aside. Really. I mean, I totally understand. I don't know what vocation you people are in. Maybe you travel a lot from here to China because of business. Maybe you're a real estate agent that you have to sell houses 24/7 and your cell phone is on 24 hours a day. I don't know. I'm not here to say that, you know, you should quit your job. But I'm just saying that we only have a 24-hour day, honestly. Every day is the same for everyone. We all have 24 hours. Nobody has more, nobody has less. But how you use that 24 is really up to you. When I say, hey, you need to be a heads up on what's going on with your kid's life, then you need to put some time. Oh, but I have no time. Well, you have no time, then you need to make time. Right? We make time for a wedding. True? We make time for a birthday party for a gong gong ye ye. That's 1,000 years old. Huh? You make time for that. Oh, but no time for my kids. No, I'm so busy. It doesn't make sense. If you love your kid, you make time for your kid. Right? And I think we need to be aware of two. We need to engage. If you really listen to Jesus or follow him as example, if you notice that everywhere he goes, it's always engaging. He walks to the Samaritan woman in the well. He walks towards, oh my gosh, a Jew walking to a Samaritan woman. Wow. You know, in those days, you'd be slapped silly. A Jew will never come close to Samaritan. No way. Wow. Jesus not only walks with her, he walks to a woman. Wow. You know, it's prohibited that even a man come close to a woman. But yes, a Samaritan woman. You know, Jesus breaks the barrier because he engaged people. Follow his, read the Bible carefully, read the New Testament. You know, all these stories you learn from Sunday school. But there's one common thread that he always takes the initiative to go. He doesn't say, you, ABC, you want more. He didn't say, hey, yeah, Peter, hey, make an appointment, come see me. I go see Peter. Not Peter see me. Right? Engagement. You know, if you really follow Jesus' example, then we as parents, we need to do the same. When was the last time you engaged your kids? Anything. Board game. Wii. Anything. I'm not even talking holy stuff. I'm mostly talking about. Okay, I got it, don't worry. Okay, don't be so holy. Anything. You know what? This is winning. These things are winning your kids. I want you to understand this. All this is winning your kids. We did work through nothing to even break even. You know, when you go to business, you're in business, you at least break even. You don't lose, you don't gain. But you know, as parents, we're not even breaking even because that is winning all your kids and mine. Engage, right? It's worth it, right? There are teachable moments every day. Use them. Teachable moments every day. And it's not from a book. It's from life, right? It's not from TV. It's from life. And it's definitely not from Facebook. It's artificial. It's from life. Jesus gave us life. John 10:10. He gave us life. He gave us abundantly. More than you need. But we don't even have time. We don't have time. You gotta be kidding. Jesus gave it to you abundantly, but I don't have time. Where is the responsibility of our part as parents? When do we stop and own up to the role? What's our role? It is so easy to finger point. The last point, it's so easy to finger point, it's so easy to blame. You know, I hear parents in my own church, they blame society's woes, they blame everything except themselves. You know, I'm starting to listen to them, I kind of, when you gas you. And then in my mind, I'm going, so what are you doing? You know, you're saying that this society is no good, Ontario is lousy, the government sucks, and Stephen Harper is no good, blah, blah, blah. What are you doing? The Bible Israelites are the same. They whine and complain every day. Have you noticed? They don't do anything about it. They just whine. So sometimes as parents, that's what we do, complain. We complain to our best friend. You know, we meet them for the some, we complain even more. And then we go join a small group in the church, we complain some more. That's what we do. We complain. But we don't do anything. You know, the Israelites are the same thing. All they do is complain. No food! Manna! Thirsty! Water from the rock! Yeah, they're never satisfied. I mean, should be so grateful, right? But I think as parents, I think we need to learn that lesson and learn it well, because the Israelites, they were just an ungrateful people. You know, even for the blessings of God Himself, they were still ungrateful. But I think we need to take that lesson very seriously. Because now, we have a commodity called children. And if we're not grateful to what God gave us, and He did give you kids, no matter how unbearable they are when they were at some point in their life, they are still God's gift to you. And if you are not grateful for that, you will learn a very hard lesson one day when your kids decide to leave the faith, decide to leave God, decide to win the world on their own, or to be engulfed by the world. Some blind side. This is our shortcoming. I call them blinders. You know, in horses, if you notice there are things that cover their eyes, they're called blinders. You know why that's there? It's because in horses, they run such a tight, packed race. You know, it's only 10, 15 horses at a time. And their lane is very narrow. So the blinders are actually to keep the horse on track, because the path is so narrow, and without stepping either way and killing themselves as horses, they put blinders on so to keep them focused. But you know, parents, we have blinders too. But our blinders are to ourselves. We don't want to admit this. We don't want to admit that. You know, we don't want to admit that we're failures as parents. Shameful. And we have our own blinders. Those blinders that we have as parents, we cover ourselves. And by covering ourselves, we become ignorant. And ignorant is not an excuse for bad parenting. Parents are unable to honestly address issues in the teen's culture because they still view their kids as innocent children. The opposite of blinders is your denial. There's one case when I just started ministry, and I did the summer camp for kids. And I remember this boy, And he was just all over the place. Oh my goodness, just all over. 솜댕엔. I mean, he must have ADHD to the 10th degree. Not to the 10th degree. He was all over. I mean, there's no way. There's one, not one day or one moment he actually sat on one chair for more than 30 seconds. He was all over. And then one time, he broke something off a piano. And it was like a one of those decorative balls. It's not to put flowers, it's just there for decoration. It was on the top of a piano. And he climbed the piano and he knocked it off. I'm sure it was accident. But because of his behavior, it's hard to say, right? So I have to report it to the mom. And I remember this so well. Like, I just started in ministry, so I don't want to, you know, be too arguing. So, you know, I try to be as pleasant as I can. But in my heart, I'm saying, she keeps telling me, no, not my son. No. You have a whole class of kids. How can you say my son knocked that thing off and bro, not my son. My son is good. My son is always good at home. And I'm just standing there listening to, you know, gossip. But in my heart, I go, there's no accepting. What parent would say that their kid is evil? Do you? Of course not. I mean, but there's going to be a time when you have to understand that our children's behavior will sometimes cross the line even beyond your understanding. And you have to come to grips and say that, you know what, my son is at fault. You know what, my daughter did something inappropriate. Instead of saying, no, my son is an angel. We have to come to grips that, you know, our kids are not always, always good. The better question to address when as parents, might this be true of my teen? You know, our teenage kids, they will venture in things that they're not sure, and they will make mistakes. And some mistakes will incur collateral damage. Collateral damage will be people around them who also suffer. And when that's been reported to you, then you don't say, this is not my kid. My kid is always an angel. You better question ask yourself, might this be what my kid is doing? That's a better question. Many parents ask, how can this happen? Our answer is, our inability to believe that it could happen is partly how it happened. It's our ignorance. So we refuse to believe it. That's why it happened. And you know, when things happen in your family, what is our tendency? We go to the experts. You know, we are now living in an age where everything has an expert. Everybody who has a PhD degree has written a book about whatever you want. My Chinese cooking at home is now 比较淡一点，冇咁够好，又够甜。 Let me go find an expert. A PhD, write a cookbook for Chinese cooking. 有味有料. You know, we're living in a day and age where, hey, you have a problem? Google.com. Look for an expert. Oh, Wikipedia. Oh, my lawn is brown. My grass is not green. Oh, Google.com. Oh, let's find a guy who wrote a book on how to grow grass greener. Isn't it? Same thing. Something happens to your family, Google.com. But what's worse than that is we tend to seek out these experts as if they are the be-all, end-all. Even Christians. I have to ask myself, where's the Bible? Why don't you look for the PhD guy that inspired the Bible? His name? Jesus Christ. Why don't you look him up at Google.com? Huh? Where's the Bible? Oh, you look all over the world. You know, what kills me? Dr. Phil. Oh, can't go wrong. Dr. Phil. Everything that happens in your family is Dr. Phil. If not, second best, Oprah Winfrey. It's incredible. Lance Armstrong, a world-renowned athlete, respected all over the world, all over. he would go first to Oprah, but deny the justice and the court of law in the U.S. Wow. What does that mean, Oprah? She's a female Jesus Christ. Wow. We'll say, I'm full of sin. I would go first to Oprah before even the judge. Did you know that Lance Armstrong he refused to go to court. Wow. The court of law. Wow. Gam Dai Dam. He refused to go to the court. But Oprah? Wow. Yam Cha. Matoda. You know, as parents, we cannot do that. When something happens with your teen child in your family, you don't need to go to Google.com and look for Dr. Phil or Oprah. You just need to go look to the Bible. Right? Go to the Bible. The Bible is what James Dobson would call is the book for all occasions. Even the bad ones. Right? That's why it really boggles my mind. Even Christian leaders would seek out so-called experts. When I go, did you pray? Did you pray? Or did you even read the Bible, what the Bible has to say? And they go everywhere. Because it's natural now. Everything is internet. Right? Easy. Right? Everything has an answer. But we're kind of leaving God kind of on the sidelines. And I don't know if that's right. Experts are not the be-all and end-all. Your teen's DNA is what God designed. God's design is to match you with your teen children. He knows what he was doing when he gave you your kid. Remember the verse that says in the book of Psalms? It says that God knows your child even when it was in your mother's womb. What does that mean? It means God already knows what kind of kid it is to match you. My daughter, Courtney, for those who know me, I tend to exaggerate a lot. Yeah, I know the people in the back are laughing at that. I tend to exaggerate a lot. And I didn't know this, but when my young daughter, Courtney, was in kindergarten, she went to one kindergarten class and the teacher was saying, oh, today's kind of cold, you know. Who can tell me how cold it is today? And then Courtney raised her hand. She was only 5. She said 10,000 degrees below zero. What do you mean 10,000 degrees below zero? How can it be 10,000 degrees? You're only kindergarten. Who's your dad? God knows what he's doing when he gave you your kid. Because he matches the kid's DNA with yours. Right? There's no denying. You guys didn't know my kid. Look at the 两个都咁夸张啊. One is 10,000, the other is 20,000. Right? We as a culture develop an unhealthy dependence, a crutch. We depend on the interest of experts. But I don't know if that's the right case. God designed it to match your kid because he knows what he's doing. We need to own up to the fact that, number A, your children are God's intention for you. It's his gift. Yes, it is. It's his present to you. Yes, it is. But it's also his intent for you. Why? Because he also wants you to grow as a parent. Now, one of the mission statements of CCCPA is for you as a parent to grow. Not just to be a good parent, but you need to grow. How are you going to teach a kid that you don't even grow? God's gift of a kid to you is his intention for you. What is it? What's his intent? His intent is for you to grow. He allows you to have a kid so that you can grow. Right? Two, own up that you are part of God's plan for your kid. So now it's the reverse. God's gift to you is his intent, but while your kid is with you, you are part of God's plan to raise the kid according to him. So it's a two-way street. God gave you a gift. That's his intent. But while you have it, while you have your child, you're part of God's plan to raise him or her according to him. So it's a two-way street. Three, we need to own to the fact that your teen will understand God's world through you. Remember, kids when they're young, even at teen days, they will not have the concept of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, where is it? The only way to get really grasp and understand the Spirit of God is through you. Spirit, they call me Spirit. Where? Oh, God is everywhere. Oh, yeah, where? Oh, He's in the chair. Oh, I know, because Wesley said He's in the chair. I believe Wesley, God, Wesley said that God's Spirit is in the chair. Really? Well, I know that He's in the chair. But you know what? I think this generation, they're into so many things that is so artificial. This is all artificial. This is all superficial. This is not, some of them are not even real. But they're in it. They treat it like it's real. So what about the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is the reverse. The Spirit of God is real. It's a real living organism. It's a part of God. But your teeth and mine, they treat it as if it doesn't even exist. The only way they will know is through you. You better own to the fact your team will understand God's world through you. You show nothing. They learn nothing, of course. You go to church, yeah, they'll pick it up that you go to church, but that's it. Amen. Boom! 6 days, do my own stuff. Oh, 7 days, come back. Come. Go to church. Well, that's it. That's all they were going to pick up. You know, that's not going to last. That's really not going to last. How is that going to help them confront a world that is looking at transgender? How are they going to confront that? They have nothing. They will fall. They will fall, they will fail, and they will not be a part of this Christian faith because it does them nothing. Zippo. And why is that? Is it their fault? No. It's because we as parents, we don't own up to it because we do nothing. We just do the routine. Bring them to church, make sure they're safe, and say, Amun, and bring them home. That's it. You know, there's no inner growth, nothing. There's nothing to show them that, oh yeah, well, when it's difficult, you do this. Oh, when it's tough, you do that. Nothing. Fourth, I think we need to own up that I can trust truth from the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit is the last part of God's Trinity that is leaving with us. God the Father did his stuff already. Right? Boom, 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 boom! Creation! Boom! He done his part. God the Son did His role already. Came down to earth. 33 years. Walked, suffered, died, risen. Oh, hey man, I did my part. Now, it's the Holy Spirit. But then your kids will not know who the Holy Spirit is when you don't display anything that would even resemble the Holy Spirit. Right? They'd rather not grasp things that are artificial and treat it like real than to treat a real thing like it doesn't even exist. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit as a counsel to you. Counsel, wow. You know how much it is to retain a lawyer? You know how much it is to retain a lawyer? Udo's a mula. To retain a lawyer is not a chop chain. Yamangai, no. They charge you $200 just to look at their face. You know, la, oh, you mama. Wow, they mutai so, oh, say mama. Oh, they come back. Oh, Obama. Wow. God gave you the Holy Spirit as a counsel. That's like a lawyer. Free. Cost you nothing. Free. 24/7 at your beck and call. You try to call your lawyer at 4 a.m. and see if he'd be nice to you. Free. To be effective is equivalent to be more involved. The key word is involved. Right? And if you're not involved in your team's life, really, don't blame them. Because the more and more they kind of distant from you, it's because you were more and more distant from them. Monkey see, monkey do. Right? You know time, they know time. You know involved, they know involved. You leave them, they say bye-bye. Don't cry and say, oh, they come and hang on. Oh, what a rebellious child. Don't blame them. I mean, that's why I said we have to really look at ourselves. Right? Influences in your teen's life really revolves around the following things in that box. Law of the land. School, peers, parents, religion. Well, in the past, influences would come like that pie shape. But these days, it's actually that little circle you have underneath. Actually, you should put all those with your writing into that circle. And the reason to do that is because these days, your child's life has no set compartments. See, in the past, you say, oh, part of my life is law, a part of my life is informal media. These days, it's all convoluted. All media, law, school, peers, parents, religion, all mingle as one. They come to your kids all at once. They bombard your kids' attention all at once. They demand your kids' time all at once. Oh, hold on, I'm like, whoo, too much stress. I can't hack it. That's where, you know, kids go into depression. You know, that's why your social agency like Kids Phone, Kids Hotline. Why? Wow, as young as 8 years old, you're already succumbing to the pressures of life. Oh my gosh, my grandfather lived to be 99, and he fought 2 world wars. He survived. You? 某奶啊, 你, 哇, 好困难。 Right? That pie is with reflection of your kids and my kids' life. They're dealing with things in this life all at once. See, in the past would be very simple, right? Oh, well, this is that, this is that. But it's not so with these days. They're all overlapping, and they all have an effect on each other. If something goes wrong with media, or so-called their iPods, it affects your school. It'll affect your family. Because it's all intertwined. Now you know their culture a little bit. Now let's look at their hearts or their life. Parents often think that teens make decisions out of compulsion or lack of reasoning. You know, they say, "Aiya, 用脑啦，大佬, use your brain." Right? We often say that, right? They do something, and they go, "Oh, come on, how come you did that? Use your brain!" Right? We always think that they always make decisions like out of compulsion, like, or no reasoning. But actually, it's the opposite. You know, this generation has now been shaped to think a long while before they even make that decision. It's just they don't let you know. See? That's why we need to be more involved. Mm-hmm. If you're not more involved, you're not going to know. Because your kids and mine, they don't make decisions out of compulsion. They don't make decisions out of no reason. They actually thought about it long, but they don't let you know. And why do they not let you know? They don't trust you? No, it's because you don't have time for them. You don't engage them. You're not involved in their life. You are a daddy, but that's it. You're not an engaging daddy. You're not a daddy who really want to care about what's happening in my life. You're just my daddy. You're the name that I put on my school form to be responsible for me. That's it. But nothing else. Right? Teenagers do not make decisions in a vacuum. Right? They don't just wake up in the morning and say, "I'm going to go and go kill myself." Nobody does that. Even Amanda Todd, poor girl, suffered so much out of cyberbullying. And it's over a prolonged period of time she suffered before she, on live TV, go end her life. They don't make decisions out of compulsion. They thought it long and hard. But it's just nobody around them, especially the ones that love them, care. They don't care. And for Amanda Todd, the only alternative for her was to leave the world. Nobody cares. Why here? Right? Worse than that is what happened in Sandy Hook Elementary. Right? Where people blame this and that. You know, he's bipolar, he's tripolar, he's quadpolar, whatever. People started psychoanalyze everybody. But it's the fact that Adam Lanza was very much neglected. And he figured the best option he will is to leave the world, but he doesn't want to leave on a whimper like Amanda Todd. He'll leave with a bang. And that was quite a bang. 20 bangs, actually. 20 angels gone with 6 teachers. So we have to think. We're living in a world now, it's a lot of bombardment of this for your kids and mine. But none of them is of any benefit. It's just taking time. But when something goes wrong or something goes awry, then we don't have the time. This takes time. We don't have the time. And then we expect our kids to grow up decent. You know what? That's not gonna, never going to happen. That's never going to happen. Right? If our primary goal as parents is merely behavior modification, then you know what? The kids are smart. They'll know what not to do in front of you. You know that, right? If you just correct their behavior, naughty boy, don't you do that again. Oh, once bitten, twice shy. Right? Once bitten, twice shy. I'll never do it again. Oh, at least I'll never do it in front of you. Because then you think bad of me. I'll just do behind your back. Two processes that your kids constantly go through in their mind is what to do that is right, or to be what is right. And I think that you would agree with me, the second one is much more long-term, right? And I think that we need to do as parents. Romans 12:2 says so well, Apostle Paul says, conformity is to transformity. Do not conform to this world, right? Remember, the world offers all kinds of yucky things. But we should never conform to what, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind. You know, what goes through your kid's mind every day is whether they will do things that are right or to be the person that is right. And I think you know what Jesus is getting at, right? To be the person. Four core values, common to all teams. And they're in the big, bold letters in a box. One is authenticity. They want to be genuine. This is your kids in mind at this stage of their life, in this generation, facing all that. They want to be authentic. They want to be genuine. They're looking for someone who's honest, who's real. Remember, these are all fake, but they treat it like real. But they're looking for someone who's real. Well, golly gee whiz, who do you think they're going to look at? Huh? They're going to go to the shopping mall and look for it? Where? They're going to look for Kijiji to look for it? They're looking at you. They're looking at you to be the person that's real. They're looking at you to be the person that's going to be transparent to them. The one that has no strings attached. You know, no skeletons in my closet. You know, when I make a deal with you, it's purely genuine. Your kids in mind, they're looking at us. They're looking for that someone, even though they have all this. They treat it like real, even though it's fake. But they're looking for someone who is the real deal. And I think we need to wake up. I think if these are the core values of this generation, then we need to be able to respect that. Remember? Respect. Respect the core values. They're looking for someone that's real. Hypocrisy is a red flag. You know, every generation, from the boomers to now, hypocrisy is not to be respected. They don't even want to be even remotely close to somebody who's hypocritical. Right? They want empathy in moral issues. They want people to identify with them. You know, when they have teenage pregnancy, they want people to empathize with them. Yeah, it's a mistake. Sorry. I regret it. Sorry. But they need people to empathize with them. They need people to feel for them, to identify with them. Not to condemn them. I told you time and time again. Why did you do that? It's like all this thing come raining down. And I don't think that's what they're looking for. Authenticity is empathy from them. They're looking for that. They're looking for an open channel to communicate without punishment. The key is without punishment. Again, we are Chinese people, right? We're Chinese people, right? I mean, I grew up with all kinds of things. You know, from a Catholic priest slapping a ruler on my knuckles in Hong Kong simply because I wrote my name wrong. You know, Sir Mok Hida Dan Mok. And then I get whack! Oh, that's painful. You know, when you're a 6-year-old, your knuckles are all bare. And then you go home and then, gai mo so. You know, pah! I remember my mom was so angry at me one time, the gai mo so had no more feathers. It was just so, mo gai mo. Da 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 da. They thought I was killing a chicken inside the house. 哇，好多好多，可以。But you know we are, we're Chinese people, right? We're our own Chinese culture that, you know, if something that is disgraceful or shameful or demeaning, you know, we punish. Right? But this day and age, I think the kids have advanced beyond that. And if you decide to punish them, no problem. This generation will say, okay, I'll tough it out. Slap me. Kick me, man. But it will do nothing for them. But what will do something for them is you actually don't even raise a hand. In fact, you don't even raise a voice. In fact, in the moment of difficulty, your child and mine, if you just simply say, what's wrong, son? You can trust me. What's wrong? That's it. How hard is that? Any one of us can say that. And that's all that's needed for this generation. That's part of their authenticity. They want to be real. They're looking for someone, and they're looking at you to be that someone to be real to them. So I think you need to respect that. Giving your teen the freedom to reveal moral failure one-to-one with a trustworthy adult is a big step. It is. Right? You know this letter here that you just answered for me, EFF? Did you know that as parents, by George Barna research? George Barna, he's a sociologist who does a lot of research every day, every single day, 24 hours a day. And he's done a survey, and he says, at this moment in this generation, the parents rank number 7. 7! You here. In terms of whether your kids and mine will reveal or confide their emotions or feelings towards, they will go to their BFF first, and then they go to their other friends, the peers, and then they'll go to hotline, and then they'll go to other counsel before they even go to the parents. We're always the last to know. I didn't know that. But how come everybody knows and I didn't know that? Why is that? Why? They're scared? It's because I think they just think that we're gonna either punish them, or we're not gonna treat them with the kind of same fairness that they're looking for. The fairness of just being able to empathize, to identify, to be in their shoe. Second, I think security is what they're looking for. We need to be there for our teens, no matter what mistakes they make. I think one of the cases, it gives myself as a pastor, it gives me a great difficulty to know how to take the first step. You know, one of my best friends, he has a sibling. And no, my best friend's a Christian, a very active Christian. It was revealed to him that his brother is an active homosexual. And he's Chinese. Okay. And you know what Chinese parents do. It wasn't very long, then you know that the parents are overtly and pronouncedly to divorce the kid. You will not own up to my last name from this day forward. You are not my son. Get out. And that news came to me, and I don't even know. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what first step to take. But what I do know is that what the parents did for that son is not right. That happened on the same day, by the way. And when the news broke, it was on the same day. It's not like, oh, I'm your learning, and oh, you're no more my son. It's on the same day. It's almost like there's no chance to even explain why I prefer men. And then I'm just all. And what that does for that man is that he hates Christians. Why? Because his parents are Christians. And they show no empathy, no sympathy, nothing. In fact, the opposite. It's condemnation, right? It's punishment in the emotional sense, and a disengagement through a divorce. You're no longer my son. Get out. And I don't want to see you use our last name. I don't know. You know, I think, you know, if God looks at the Israelites like that set of parents, we won't have a Bible of 66 books. We'll just have a Bible of one book. Because the only other 65 is not worth printing. Not worth reading. You know why? You know why we have the Bible? You know why? Because it takes 66 books to let you and I know that God is always forgiving. You know, the people have done him wrong so many times. You can count them on so many events. But God still say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. Come back to me. But when one son says, I'm a homosexual, but let me explain. Oh, sorry, I better get out, because I'm no longer allowed to use your last name. What is that? It doesn't do anything. It doesn't reflect anything of Christ, because Christ would not never do that. Right? People done so much wrong to him and against him, but he still learned to forgive. I mean, wow. But we can't even forgive one. You know, even if it's our own. We can't even do that. So I think the important thing is that they need to know. They'll make mistakes, but you need to be there. And I mean, physically and always, be there. Don't just call them and say, how are you doing? Be there. Right? They need security because they feel a sense of abandonment if you're not. They feel like they're abandoned. You know, this kind of a trend, you know, especially these things, these are the ones that look for abandonment. They're looking for people who feel like they're abandoned. They are the greatest recruit of people who feel like they're abandoned. Hey, come to me. I'm always here. I have 5 billion users. Did your parents neglect you? Oh, poor baby. Come to me. I'm open 24/7. I never close. That is the best recruitment of people who feel like they're abandoned. So, ladies and gentlemen, do you want to take the first step, or do you want to forfeit and give it to them? I think that would be the decision. I think teens need community. They need authenticity. They need transparency. They need security. They need to know that that you're there to love them no matter what. They need community. Teens want to be understood. Number one, they look for people who receive them and validate their experience. So they need to be understood, then they need to be validated. And then three, they are looking for a place to belong. So they need to be understood, they need to be validated. They don't just say, good job, 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 good job. Oh, gee. Everything is a good job to you, Dad. Validate means that you actually see the quality, you see the effort behind it. That's validation. It's not, good job, good job, good job, good job. You know what? The pat on the back doesn't do anything. Validation is involving you as a parent in a child's life in terms of you seeing their quality. You seeing their effort. Wow, you work hard, eh? And, you know what? I feel for you. You work so hard. You didn't even get 3 hours sleep last night. That's validation. And they will never feel insecure when you do that. Right? They will never feel like you abandoned them if you do that. That's what they need. They need that kind of community within your home. And lastly, they need affirmation. James Dawson said so many times, in so many ways, in all of his books, that affirmation is the golden rule in parenting. Affirmation. Affirm. To be able to say and to be able to reassure that your children are on the right track. Affirmation. Right? Jesus does so much of that. Right? Jesus does so much of that. The greatest hurt in the human spirit is rejection. Lack of love. right? Teens need to hear it and see it on a daily basis. You know, if it takes a sermon to remind you to give your child a hug, I feel sorry for you. I really do. If it takes a senior pastor to tell you in a Bible study that you need to give your family a big hug and kiss your wife in the morning, well, you know what? I feel sorry for you. Because I think Jesus wants us to be a people of emotion, a people who value relationships, a people who cherish what God gave them, which is your kids. And the cherish of your kids comes in two ways. They need words. They need touch. Gary Chapman wrote many books called 5 Love Languages. And if you don't know what that is, just go pick up a copy. It's an easy read. It's not difficult. You don't need to be a PhD to read it. It's a very easy read, but it's so meaningful. It's called the 5 Languages of Love. It's either for parents or teens, whatever. But Gary Chapman wrote a book. He wants to tell you that everybody has one of the languages. I don't mean all 5. Everyone has at least one. And he'll tell you what those languages are. But in this generation, what their language is that they need words. Words of what? Words of affirmation. Right? Hey, I want to go to Western Ontario and to major in picking up garbage. Yeah, I want to minor in compost. Major in solid garbage. Minor in compost. Do you think I should go there, Mom? What? Are you kidding? My daughter's not going to be ashamed of being a garbage man. I want you to be a doctor, engineer, lawyer. Affirmation is that what you really want? Well, let me help you. Let's see. An engineer earns this much. A doctor earns this much. A garbage man earned this much. So does that help you, son? What do you think? Oh, but you still want to be a garbage man. You know what? Okay, I support you. That's affirmation. It's not like your own shame or you cannot explain to your social club how come your son is a picking up garbage. Right? And I think we need to be able to do that. And I think that's easy. They need words. They need touch. You know, I was raised in a home where I really do not know, I don't ever recall both my mom and dad ever hugged me in my entire life. I hugged them, but I never recall them hugging me. I know they love me. My mom and dad love me greatly. And they show their love in different ways. You know how Chinese are, right? They love you, they cook you a nice meal. But trust me, when you're bad, I don't recall my mom and dad ever hugging. But I never think that they hate me. That never crossed my mind. That's just them. But having grown up in Canada, in North America, and have gone to an international school, immigrant school, I've come to learn that, hey, how come the Italians don't like to hug? How come the Greeks like to hug? How come the Armenians like to hug? How come the Jewish people always give a kiss? You know, that's the Chinese people. why were we not that close? I mean, if I would hug this guy, why? I mean, I don't know. I think this generation, they're not just looking for all these things. But I think something even more personal, and it can only come from you. God forbid, if these two things, words and touch, comes from somebody else other than your family, if you know what I mean. Right? There's plenty of people out there who want to hug your daughter. There's lots of people out there who want to hug your son too. But God forbid. Because the only thing they're looking for is words and touch from you. Right? And I remember when my daughters were just babies, they don't even understand. We would tell them day in, day out, we love them. You know, I love you, Nat. I love you, Court. Constant, like a broken record. And to this day, now they reciprocate. They would say countless times during the day, we love you, Dad. Love you, Mom. And I think that's a good teaching. And I think that's what you want as a parent. You would love to hear that. If your daughter would say, love you, Mom. Go to church and listen to Wesley, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, pray for me. Yeah. You know, I think you would love to hear that. What parent does not want to hear that? But in order for that to happen, something has to go in, right? They're not going to say, I love you out of nowhere, right? It has to come from you, right? And it's not too late, even though your children are teens. Training wheels, they're like training wheels. First thing parents teach your child is to walk. The same process is for teens to walk through life. They live out their values. You want them to live out their Christian values that you taught them when they were small? Then you need to teach them like training wheels, right? Training wheels, guide them until they, they see her, right? But they can't just go on their own. Because all this, remember, every time you think of something good for your children, you have to think what is really facing them. This is non-stop. This is 365, this is 24/7, this is non-stop. We have limitation. What are y'all on yet? We have limitation. We need to go to sleep. I need to wake up and go to work. We have limitation. This doesn't. So you have to remember, anything that you want good to happen to your kids, they are also engulfed in all that. You can't fight this. You lose every time. You can only better yourself as a parent. That's why TCCPA is there. That's why they're there to help parents all over, Christians and non-Christians, to become a better role model for their son or daughter in this day and age when everything is grabbing their attention 24/7. You are the universe. When they're young, you are the center of the universe. You know what it is, right? When they're older, they don't look at you as the center of the universe. Something happened between the ages of 10 to 13. Their universe changed. You're no longer the center. Now, the friends are the center. The peers are the center. The media is the center. You're no longer the center. Parents are now viewed as people taking away the fun in life. They want to have control. So, on the day when they see you no longer the center of the universe, they now see you as a power-hungry person. You want to control their life. You want to know everything. They will choose you. So you're no longer the center. See, when they were small, they're like, oh, thank you, Dad. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Mom. Everything is great. Disney World. Wow. But when they're older, 10 to 13, that window, somebody else replaces you. Could be one of these. Replace you. You're no longer center. In fact, now you're somewhere else, and they view you as power hungry. This is a home dialogue. You want to control me. You want to know everything. Problem exists for parents in navigating through this transition. So this is where we now have a bump in the road. We have a hill to climb. That hill is when we have to steer, when we have to kind of drive through this transition of them knowing you as the center of the universe to you're no longer the center of my universe. That transition is the bump on the road. We all go through as parents. My daughter's 15. And I can only thank the Lord. I'm so grateful. I am not a tech person. I don't even know how to use a cell phone now. Right? I only do Microsoft on my computer in church. My church computer is fully loaded. It's got everything. I don't even know how to use 98% of the stuff that's on my computer. Right? Hypotop. I'm not even interested to learn. So all I do is I just write files, I write big fonts and send them to Julie, my best friend. I'm not a tech person. I'm not the smartest man in the world. But I'm grateful that when God gave me two daughters, Natalie and Courtney, that they go through this bump in the road, 10 to 13, that nothing disastrous came. And they still love the family. They still love the Lord. And for that, I can die today. I die today, die right now, I'll be a happy man. Because I know that God has done something good in their life. I am just a part of that. But God used me to do something good in their life. And if I die, I'm a happy man. My daughter is the captain right now upstairs in Teens Conference. And I cannot be more grateful. But I think parents go through that bump. And we might need help or we might not need help. If you don't need help, God bless you. Focus on the Lord. Focus on His teaching. Not on the experts. If you need help, that's where Mrs. Wong and TCPA, that's what we're about. That's where church is about. That's where your local church is about. They're here to help you to become a better person first, and then a better Christian next, and then a better parent. Person, Christian, parent. And I think we all need that, right? We're not perfect. So I want to end with a quote from President Jimmy Carter. He's a born-again Christian, an active Christian to this day. He was the president during the time of the hostage-taking in Iran, where the movie was made called Argo. Oh, by the way, Jimmy Carter was also the former president of the United States who spoke up for Canada. Because when that film was made, it was made from a screenplay that gave all the U.S. all the credit and gave nothing to Canada. Meanwhile, it was Jimmy Carter who went on the public and told everybody that it was the planning of the Canadian Council in Iran that plotted a plan to deliver the hostages who were all Americans out of Iran at that time. But in this quote is something else. And I think it's so meaningful for me to read it. I have one life and one chance to make it count for something. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, have one crack at life. That's it. You have no second chance. I'm free. You're free to choose what that something is. And that something that I've chosen is my faith. My faith. Now my faith goes beyond theology. Beyond your Bible study. Beyond the sermon. And religion. And requires considerable work and effort. My faith demands, the word here is demand, not request, demands. This is not optional. My faith demands that I do whatever I can. So ladies and gentlemen, as a parent, you do whatever you can. Wherever I am, wherever you are, whenever I can, whenever you can. For as long as I can with whatever, whatever I have to try to make a difference. Jimmy Carter wrote this for the nation. He didn't write it for his own family. You know, Amy Carter, his only daughter, they grew up fantastic. Roseanne Carter is still his greatest supporter. But when he wrote this quote, he didn't write it for his family, right? He wrote it for the nation of the United States. He wrote it for them as a citizen, not even as parents. That if you mean to make a difference, then you need to invest all you can, whenever you can, whatever you can, to it. And for sure, good things will come from it. But I use this as a quote for us as parents. Do you love your kids? Of course you do. Do you know that your kids are a gift from God? Of course you do. Do you know that God intended for your kids to be a part of your family so that you can teach them and train them? Of course you do. Then we need to do whatever we can. Do whatever you can. Do whatever is possible. Do it whenever you can. Remember, be involved. Be engaged. Right? This is, you need to be a part of their life. Not just outside looking in. You need to be in it. Because, I'll tell you again, you see this whiteboard here? This whiteboard can easily fill that empty circle on that page you have in your handout. No problemo. This whiteboard will fill that circle, no problem. But then that would be a sad day. Because the only thing that your kids will ever remember is something that's superficial and artificial. Meanwhile, something that's real and life-giving, that's Christ, is all forgotten. So ladies and gentlemen, do whatever you can. As a parent, invest it all. Right? Invest it all. You only have one crack. You get one chance in life to do something good. John Lennon wrote a song called Give Peace a Chance. Famous song in a protest in the city of Montreal about 1968. Right? But I would, if God had a way to write a song, he would probably say, give life a chance. You know why? This day and age, this generation, the life that your teens and my teens are living is not even life. It's not even the life that God has intended to be. It's something else. I don't even know what it is. Give our kids another life. And I think there's five things that we need to be aware of. Number one, and in order for them to have life the way God wants them to be, I think we need to be aware when they're young, just what kind of exposure that you allow them to have. You allow them to have in terms of technology. Now don't blame them. Because the exposure that you give them is you. You gave it to them. So beware. If you want them to have life, then you cannot have something that will replace that life. Because come a day when they say, you know what? Mom, I'd like to email you. Why don't you call me? It's okay, long distance, I can pay for it. No, I'll just email you. You know, that when that day comes, it's so sad. When your kids don't even want to talk to you in person, they just email you. Wow. Email you. Or I'll just text you from upstairs. Sipana! Hello, you're upstairs. Can you just come down? Text you. Oh my gosh. Sad day. I will feel for you. I cry for you. Beware. On an average, an 8-year-old has their own video game system, but 50% of that have the video games in their own bedroom with the doors closed. You know, you want them to have life, right? The genuine life that God has prepared? Well, you know what? That's never going to happen. If you kind of reward them with PlayStation 9, Xbox 13, what life? You are basically offering them an alternative to life. They will not know what life is because they're so preoccupied with finding entertainment from this one. They won't know what real life is. Right? It's so strange. When I came to Canada, immigrating to Canada in 1968, you know, back then, all parents are, don't stay out too late! Don't stay out too late! Don't hang out with that friend! Come on home, quickly! After school, come on! Not today. You can't even get them out of the house. They don't even want to leave the room. Why? Why? Tell me. Why? Because they're consumed with a certain box that can entertain them for hours and hours. It's so strange. It's a complete 180. Right? 20 years ago, you can't wait for them to come home. Bye, don't hang around. Now you can't even get them to go out. It's a total reversal. Three, beware that you use the use of computers and games as a leverage. Oh my, this is one famous one. You know how it is, right? Clean up your room. I said clean up your room. You didn't clean up. Clean room. And then you come to a point like, okay, how about this? You clean up your room, I let you play the new video game. Well, I will clean up my room too. I'll clean up the whole house. I'll clean up your house. I'll clean up all your house. What the fuck game? That's a no-no. You know, you want them to have life, but you kind of give them this kind of reward as a leverage. Well, I don't know if that's good. And this one, beware. You know how it is, right? Long time ago, I did a workshop on video games, right? On, you know, on what boundaries should we have for video games? And I told the parents then, and I'll tell you now, this generation, they don't think we're good. Don't think they're stupid. You know, when you say, hey son, say, dinner time. Almost done, let me finish, Dad. And then 10 minutes later, hey, 10分钟了, 吃饭啊, one more level. You know, the kids are smart. Because they don't know that you don't know. They know that you don't know that the games that they play is not so much time duration. It's games. So that means when they tell you, Tawhaira, it means another 3 hours. So if you want to really give your kids life, then I would suggest you highly suggest you. When the kid says, coming, you would set a time. I give you exactly 2 minutes. I would count 120 seconds from now. And you better get down here, otherwise you be the task you. Lin Lawley said, Tasiwa, you become the Tasiwa. You know what? You need to be aware that, you know, these kids are smart, right? They know how to get around. But there's something that they cannot get around is time. And if you dictate a certain time, you better get down in 1 minute. You better be down here in 1 minute. Otherwise, you lose one kidney. And then 2 minutes, you won't be able to pee. Two kids. Last thing, beware, ignoring your gut feeling. You know what? God gave us emotions, right? I told you before, He gave us the same package. You know the old saying, eh? In English, it's, my gut feeling tells me that, there's going to be an earthquake in Japan. Ha! Tsunami! Ha! Your gut feeling. You know, it's not scientific, huh? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is not scientific. This is a gut feeling. But you know what? I believe that if God gave you emotions, He also gave you a gut feeling. What is a gut feeling? Gut feeling is when you are aware of something that is yet to happen. That's going to happen. That's a gut feeling, right? And what do I say here? Beware of ignoring your gut feeling. Because we're parents. We're responsible for our children. We are solely responsible for the welfare of our kids. So, if a gut feeling hits you here, they say, it's not scientific. I need proof. And if that something happens, I don't know where you're going to go. I don't know where you're going to hide. Because something has alerted you in a gut feeling, but you ignored it. And then something, God forbid, terrible happened to your children because you ignore the gut feeling. And I think that's part of all this. It's giving kids an alternative life, a real life, a life that God has in store for them, a life that includes relationships, a relationship to a human being, not a circuitry board, not a social network, not something so artificial that you cannot even be able to have relationship with. God wants you to have life that's based on relationship. That's where Jesus comes to the picture. Right? And I believe that we can be better parents if we just kind of own up to that fact. So ladies and gentlemen, I'll just close here.